Welcome to Nostalgia Pilots, a Gundam Wing fancast with the best power and skill. I'm your host, Hugh.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Jason.
And I'm Spence.
And today we're looking at Gundam Wing Episode 31, The Glass Kingdom.
So this one opens with a fight scene in the recap where, I don't know if you were listening, again, we have this weekly discussion of the sub versus dub, but in the dub, there's this weird, 30 seconds of silence off the top where we're just watching silence, well, not silence, like there is sound to the space combat, but there's no narration, no real explanation of where we are, and it's only when they cut to the next part of the montage that we get the Voltron voice telling us what's going on.
You didn't get the whole, Romafeller took over Earth and didn't want complications.
Essentially, I watched the dub version.
The breakdown's pretty good. I just wondered if maybe they had a montage longer than the actual English explanation, so they figured, well, we'll just tack it on.
It's dramatic.
Near the end, yeah, just open it with the fight and not really talk over that part.
Like, I'm glad that we did get a repeat of Hira saying that he's going to fight longer than anybody on Earth, even longer than Relina.
Oh, but rewatching the death of Lady Un still, I gotta tell you, a little poke in my heart there.
Well, it's still in there.
It further tells me that I need to cosplay as Lady Un. That's all it does.
I support this plan.
Okay. We get that little recap, and I'm kind of sad that we don't get the Relina leaning on the airplane ladder looking amorously at Hero, but, you know, I can't be choosy.
Well, the thing is we start with Alfred driving Hero and Catra to the school, and Relina's not with them. So, like, yeah. Relina, like, took an Uber, or she went with Noin or something, but she raced ahead of them so that she could receive them in her giant office.
Yeah.
Which is such a power move.
She's like, kids, go wash.
I want to know, like, how did these school rumors get started? Because when these guys show up, like, all the people in the audience, all the people, like, outside the school are like, oh, my God, look, he's too young to be a bodyguard. Oh, my God. Like, who's that? Who's that?
You want to know how all the rumors got started in that school? Because the answer is going to be Dorothy.
Yeah. It's always going to be Dorothy.
Dorothy Catalonia is running that school.
I have a feeling that there was an overnight stay at, like, Motel 6 or something.
Motel 6 sank Kingdom.
Exactly.
Without jumping ahead, though, there are some serious sass sparks between Hero and Dorothy.
Oh yes,
some of my favorite action in the episode from them.
I don't think that's sass sparks. That's flirting, baby. I feel like that was some sword flirting.
Yeah,
that was Dorothy being like, "Hi, I'm Dorothy. I like long walks on the beach, romantic movies, and war."
Yeah, but the better part is Hero's response, huh?
Huh. I don't know who you're talking about.
Her, like, terrible plan. But we'll get there, because I want to cover this meeting with Relina in her giant office, where she's just sort of like, oh,
which is mostly made of glass and fabulous.
Which is mostly window. But she's like, Troa Barton, Gundam pilot, then Oz pilot, which means that Troa Barton was, like, obviously known as the Gundam Wing pilot or Gundam pilot while he was working in Oz.
Yeah.
Which is kind of questionable for everybody. But she's like, you know, I could help you find him. We have resources in space. But then you'd have to stay at the school for a while we did that.
Oh, heavens.
Oh, the badgering about staying at the school. And you almost think that it's just to get Hero into that friggin' uniform.
Which
I assume she designed.
Fades onto him.
And it's friggin', you know, he gets a new set of clothes for once, and then he doesn't take care of it.
Oh, let's be 100% honest here, though. He's still wearing that green tank and blue shorts under the uniform. Like,
you would totally see the green tank under that shirt, though. That shirt is too light to hide it.
No, the vest covers it.
Yeah, it's all under the baby blue vest, which actually these guys kind of look like they're ready for a 70s wedding.
Yeah. All they need is some ruffles along their buttons. Be great.
I'm surprised Hero didn't launch into his opportunity to deliver his introductory TED talk that we got a while back, but Relina introduces him to the class, and instead he just goes into, you know, flashback mode.
Yeah, he does have the flashback of him loading up for Operation Meteor, in which we get another reminder that Hiroyui is not his real name, that it is a code name based on this guy who was the revolutionary leader who was assassinated by Oz.
And I do want to point out that it's really Relina's school for ladies, leaders, and pacifists.
Yes. But of all the people like in the cast, like Catra would fit there because he is the heir to a pacifist nation in space.
And he's pretty.
Yeah, and he's very pretty.
You have to meet a pretty quota.
Fair. I'm going to actually argue that Hero, on the flip side, is almost being reasonable this episode. Like, he knows he's going to be causing issues if he's there. He knows she's trying to run a pacifist kingdom. He even thinks that he's, to some extent, for once, respecting what Relina wants, because he figures he's going to bring violence and she's not going to want that. So it almost seemed like he had an episode where he was more or less reasonable for, beyond the montage, because, you know, he's going to fight for the super duper longest. But beyond that.
Yeah, he's sort of like, I can't be here. There's going to be battles. I'm going to take my Gundam and go.
Yeah, he's being absolutely correct. He's like, look, if I'm here, they're going to come after me. Like, they're going to come after you because you're harboring me. I'm just going to go and do what I want. Like, yeah.
The fact that I don't want to see Relina at all has nothing to do with this.
Well, I think we've established that he has complicated feelings about Relina, and they all amount to, I want to kill you because I like you too much.
Exactly. But what does the pacifist school for girls do for gym class? Because of course it does.
Fencing!
Live steel fencing!
Okay,
dude, so, and what is this? What is this slightly sexist line Catra says? Like,
oh, he's like, and people say all men want to do is fight, or something like that.
There are in fact some girls that want to fight, like Dorothy, who wants to fight you right now.
Also, I feel like at this point where she's like, there was two men of the same name, and I'm like, you do realize that this Hiroyui guy is like a known figure that is probably taught in school. So when he said his name was Hiroyui, and no one goes, wait, what is that? Isn't that the same name as that guy? And it is like no one ever remarks about that, and they act like it's such a surprise that he's named after this dude.
Well, that would be like going into school and like, hi, I'm Barack Obama.
Well, I was going to say Abe Lincoln, but you know.
But no, well, but nobody responds. Like, they just like, oh, okay.
In an age of Twitter, though, I think we're all well aware of how easy it is to confuse and or have the same name as a celebrity.
This is accurate.
And she's just like, oh, you know who else is Hiroyui? The Gundam pilot. Isn't that interesting? And he's like, there must be a third guy named Hiroyui.
Yeah.
Because I was too lazy to use Duo's name this time.
I really, really thought, like, because when she introduces them, it gives you that pause after Catra says who he is. And it's like, is Hiro about to think up of an alias? Is he about to be Duo again? But no, it's just for a flashback.
Yeah. I'm also mad at Hiro because there is specific fencing protective gear. And he and Catra just completely ignore it.
He puts on a helmet.
He puts on a helmet, but that's it. And then he ruins his brand new clothes. So then he's got to go back to the tank top and shorts.
I do like that his cravat sticks out under the helmet.
Yes.
But I love how he's supposed to be trying to be inconspicuous as she's talking about how he has superhuman abilities and so forth. But what does he do? Stab her through the protective mask.
Isn't this the second time that essentially on the first day of his school, he's gone and stabbed somebody in the face during fencing practice?
That's his move. You stab somebody in the face in fencing class on the first day. And they leave you alone for the whole semester.
Except for Dorothy, because for Dorothy, this is a, oh, so this is what courtship is.
Yes, yeah, so you gotta find the biggest, strongest fencer on the first day.
And then you have to make them yours. Anyway, so that was interesting. And she's just like, and I love battle. Trying to just hit all his check marks. She had his profile off of GundamMatch.com.
Yeah, pretty much.
She delivers some great lines during that while she's trying to identify him as a growing as a warrior. She's like, you must first live a strong, noble, and intense life.
I do like this. Don't die yet. You become an even greater legend.
I want to know, like, where the teacher is. Like, shouldn't somebody be governing this gym class? People are being stabbed.
The school has no teachers.
It's probably Noin, but she is clearly too busy standing in for Prince with his band because she is looking resplendent in the purple coat today.
I love the purple coat.
Yes.
So good. So, you know, other than Dorothy owning fencing class and all the teachers being terrified of her and scampering into the dark corners of the school, then we skip to Noin and telling Relina about the Trees faction that is currently very injured.
Yeah, so there are some rebel Oz troops who are hiding out in the southern forests. And they've got to figure out what to do with them so that they don't, like, so that Rome Filler doesn't bomb their whole country.
Right. That whole exchange between Noin and the soldiers is hilarious because they're essentially trying to, like, outgracious each other in their, well, no, you know, we realize you guys are combatants, but why don't you stay here? No, we couldn't trouble you. They're going to just follow us in and start further trouble. Like, that would never actually happen. They'd be like, oh my God, yes, shelter, please. Thank you.
Well, no, she gave them the out. She's like, look, just discard your mobile suits and your weapons and your refugees. That's it. Like, that's how you win that chess move, right? Like, you can't kill soldiers if they're not soldiers anymore. Like,
yeah, but I think that the thing we get when we see the Oz commander is that they are super evil and they're willing to go with their super evil plan no matter what.
Yeah, because
and that guy kind of knows it because they're gonna bomb the city.
Yeah,
is Sank kind of like an idealized Switzerland? Like, is that what we're seeing here? Like,
I think so.
It feels like it
because that does at least put it smack in that, you know, context.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's also a great discussion between Catra and Noin about how pacifism is great until we need to kick the poop out of someone. Then we have these fancy mobile suits.
Yeah. And let's go save the peoples in these Taurus mobile suits.
Are the white ones the Taurus?
The white ones are the Tauruses. And Hero shows up with 01 and a bunch of Tauruses. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you could blow up your suits and become refugees, or you could pilot these, even though you're all heavily injured. Some of you might survive.
And when they try to question who he is, he's like, Their question posed is, who do you think you are? And he's like, I'm returning a favor. It's simple. Like, that explains anything. Oh, it's a guy. He's got a favor. I get it.
Well, he's a kid, and he has a ridiculous amount of hardware, and he's crazy, so therefore he's a Gundam pilot.
I do like that the Taurus is moving forward in that they have figured out that the most effective combination is half laser plane, half robot.
Yeah, yes. I do like that as well. I also like that he does a Terminator come with me if you want to live.
No, it's not a come with me if you want to live. It's a come with me and you might live.
You know.
Meanwhile, Relena is like, I have to stop this. And Dorothy is outside in her monster truck limo like, come on, let's go. We're going to miss it.
My question is, what, like, as this progresses, what did Relina think was going to happen? Because the murder princess, who's obsessed with murder, is like, have you ever seen a real battle before? I can't wait. Let's drive into this combat zone.
Oh God, it's like taking a little lamb to the slaughterhouse.
Well, it just, again, Relina's pacifism seems predicated on her unlocking some sort of enlightenment secret. She doesn't really know what she's going to do to stop this fight. She just knows she needs to go stop it, which really doesn't, like, okay, so she goes cruising, but she never really seems to have a plan. She just gets close.
I think her plan is that I'll be on the field and then the fighting will stop because I'm on the field.
Well, she even identifies, like, oh, you think they might just take this as an opportunity and kill me in the confusion of, like, in the fog of war? And Pagan's like, yep, absolutely. And she's like, well, I'm still going.
Yeah, like, I'm like, come on, lady. Like, I get it. You want to be, like, this neutral pacifist country. But just jumping into slaughter doesn't get that goal achieved.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's especially underlined because we have the evil Oz guy just constantly saying, like, oh, well, we're slaughtering them, but we're still going to attack the city. We're still going to, you know, keep pushing forward.
We're chasing them in, and that's our excuse.
Yeah. Like, it's clear that, you know, even if they lay down their arms, they're still going to steamroll them.
Even though the school there is full of leaders' daughters.
Well, they actually specifically use that, I thought, kind of cleverly, as the reason for the attack. Because if they kill or capture, I assume, the school full of pacifist daughters, that's going to push the pacifist nations into wanting to retaliate and therefore push them into war.
Mm. The guy in the dub says the more damage to the city, the more damage done to the ideal of true pacifism or whatever.
However, you get them in a ground battle and you get the girls in fencing gear, they will stab the hell out of every single one of them.
Yes.
Like, Lady Dorothy taught me how to do this.
I would love to have the twist at the end of the show be like a fleet of fencing-based mobile suits are launched and the ladies almost step up to...
I know I bring this up a lot, but in G Gundam, one of the Gundams is the Rose Gundam, and it does use a rapier.
And it's based heavily on Rose of Versailles.
All right, then.
But yeah, so the Sank Kingdom like mobile seeds come and they wreck shit, and
Hero has a fantastic entrance.
Yeah, Hero has a great entrance in that he is like in a crashing carrier and he cuts his way out of it, and then he shoots the other carrier from the crashing carrier.
Did you guys notice the fluctuating power of his beam rifle? The first shot is so powerful it takes down two carriers. Then the second shot is somehow lesser and just kind of pushes the falling carrier out of the way from killing Relina and Dorothy.
I assume he's got some power control, but it is kind of King Kong in that sense. Like, it is the scale you need it to be for that shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, actually, Dorothy and Relina almost get put down by the crashing plane, but then they're sort of on the bridge with a bunch of evil mobile suits kind of approaching, and that's when you get Noid and Catra making their appearance.
Yeah, and they do a nice laser plane double move, which is super effective.
I love how they were shooting the lasers on the mobile dolls, and then finally they're like, that's not working. I'm just going to grab it.
Well, yeah, because basically they're like kneeling on the energy shield and punching through it, which you have to do at some point.
I do like the white Tauruses, though. I like that because I think this is at the point, this is the first time we've seen like a white mobile suit other than the Wing Zero.
Right.
Yeah, they look pretty sharp. I like them.
They definitely look more heroic. I think that's the point.
Yeah. I like that meaty shoulder action, even if it just does kind of feel a bit like a GoBot extension to justify them having plane mode. But
mm-hmm. So the battle ends, and then Hero mansplains pacifism to Relina.
That's accurate.
Who, to be fair, is like still well, I'm gonna figure out why people fight. Like, I'm sorry, Relena, it's the amygdala. End of quest.
Like, pacifism is good, but there are people who are going to repeatedly try and kill you, so you might want to, like, keep a self-defense force just for that.
Yeah, my question is, I still don't understand why she thought it was a good idea not to have something for personal protection. Like, it's not an act, it's not an army for fighting or conquering or assault. It's literally to stop people from doing exactly what they're doing to her right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to fall into the trope of, you know, everything in Japan is through the lens of World War II. But it does kind of, it is interesting that they're wrestling with the idea of pacifism versus an offensive force versus a defensive force. Especially considering how, you know, Japan's defense was sort of taken up and taken over by the Americans and that whole situation, and sort of their ongoing debate about how they should handle that.
I got nothing on that, so.
But you're right. It's a lot of, again, anime started, you know, for propaganda and anti-war sentiment. So mm-hmm. when you actually see them take the perspective through that lens, you can start seeing the writing on the wall here.
Yeah,
and you do have this like post-war generation struggling with the idea of war, having never sort of known it.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting. The perspectives you get are kind of interesting because you got Noin is feeling bad about the fact that she's, you know, maintained this secret military force. So she's trying to apologize to Relena. And then Hiro on the flip side is like, no, you shouldn't feel bad. This clearly isn't even nearly big enough army. This is nothing to feel terrible about.
Yeah, like you're not going to be able to win with this. So
don't feel bad.
It's fine. You're going to die anyway.
It's just a little murder. It's not a lot of murder. Don't worry about it.
And then, of course, Relena relents and says, no, that's okay. I'm glad you did it. I'll figure something out.
Yeah, she's sort of like, okay, do what you want.
She does have a good line, though, when she says, you know, how can I, you know, say I'm going to leave this country and agree on this total pacifism if I can't even agree with my closest confidants?
That is a good line.
The character does have this constant feeling, and I mean, and not to harp on it, but the ending on the line, someday I'm going to find out what gives everyone the urge to fight. Like, she does feel like a religious figure in some senses, trying to unlock a secret, trying to move towards that that greater understanding, even if, you know, I don't really see it.
Did you catch the shade Hiro threw at her father? Because he goes, you need to do something so that you can, so you don't get crushed like the previous leader of this country did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she never knew her biological father, so it's not that terrible.
But she knew Riker Dad.
No, she didn't know Riker Dad. And then after that, we have the award-winning performance by Dorothy, who is still pretending to be passed out in the car.
Inexplicably and for no real reason. Like, no one's like, oh, well, it's good that she's passed out there. She just decides to hang out there, I guess.
Well, it was because she swerved the car, and so she made like she hit her head and went unconscious, when really she didn't.
Yeah, but I find that hilarious because I don't see Relena having any issues with her just standing like directly beside her and listening to the conversation. Like, I don't see the advantage of the ploy.
Supposedly, Relena can hear everything, though, like from the distance that she's at. Because
yeah.
Relena does have a reaction when she can't wake up Dorothy, which is, Dorothy, wake up! And it doesn't work. So she goes outside when she sees Noinen and Katra and Hiro, and then they tell their nefarious plot to the enemy. At least that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I suppose that she is kind of a spy for Romefeller, so...
Yeah.
But when Romefeller's like, okay, all our troops disappeared in this area where the Gundam is, like, that's not a hard mystery to solve.
You don't need an Inspector Octa on that one.
Right. But, you know, I think that that's part of what comes with outsourcing all of this to 16-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the plans get redundant.
Yeah, well.
But that wraps up episode 31.
It does.
So does anyone have anything else they want to add before we move on to favorite parts?
Not that I can think of.
I'm good.
Okay, so Jason, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part would definitely have to be the sword flirting from Relina, or from Dorothy and Hero.
Nice.
Because it was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, as these things go, like, I don't know if they were, like, good fencing moves. They were sort of overly flashy, but yeah, that was a good, like, let's have a sword fight and we can talk about how you're going to die and it'll be super hot. She's on point for Dorothy.
Definitely. So my favorite part, I'm going to say, is Noin and Ketra being like, well, Relina's not going to like this, but let's get in the Gundams anyway. Doo-doo-doo. Also, that coat.
Oh, yes. The coat.
Such a good coat.
I'm going to make comments about fashion for the rest of the series, and y'all can't do anything about it.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay, so something we haven't really, or something we just skimmed over a little bit, I guess. When Hero shows up in the breakaway camp, they're actually so far into trying to out-accommodate Noin's plan that they've decided they're essentially going to commit suicide. They've got a bunch of detonators going on, and they're getting ready for it. And Hero swaggers in and is like, his line is, self-detonation? Not a bad idea. The only thing that Hero respects is, I guess, attempted suicide? I don't know. That's kind of a crazy... anyhow.
Hey, as we've seen previously, Hero does love to blow things up.
Yeah, he is a blowing yourself up aficionado.
He is. And somehow he lives.
Yeah, maybe he's indestructible. What blowing yourself up is. Like, he survived too often. He doesn't understand that that does actually cause death in others. But anyway.
Definitely my favorite part has to be Relina taking the power move of racing them back and then having them meet her in her giant office where she, like, dangles their friends, like, life or death over their heads if they want to join her school. Which is, like, pretty conniving for her.
But she's learning how to be a politician while being a pacifist.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm like, really, I'm so proud of you. You learned something. You used leverage over someone.
Hey, if Dorothy could have seen that, she would have been super impressed.
Would have been like, Miss Relina, you surprised me.
Have we even seen Troa since his fight with Ketra?
No, I don't think so.
Nope. We haven't been back to space in a while, but we'll be there next week when we look at the Duo versus Zero.
Yeah, bring back Flighty Sassy Pants.
And we're going to get another good look at Death Sight Hell, which I am excited for. So thanks for listening to this week's episode. You can find our show notes and links at nostalgiapilots.com. All of my work is available at hughjodonnell.com.
All of my business is over at skinner.fm.
All right, all my work is at resonantmoon.com.
And mine's at talknerdytimmypodcast.com.
So until next week, thanks for listening.
I'll be waiting in the car, passed out, and tapping my finger on the steering wheel.
And thank you for listening, and don't die yet. Become an even greater legend.
As I cut my way from this aircraft carrier.
You must first live a strong, noble, and intense life.
The Fantastic Arts is your guide to the Fantastic Four from the beginning of the Marvel Age of Comics.
Each week, Steve Lacy and Andy Leyland cover each issue, spin-off,
guest appearance and cameo of Marvel's First Family.
And in 2019, we begin our journey through the neon decade, the 1980s.
Join us as we cover
all-time classic runs from John Byrne and Walt Simonson.
She-Hulk and Sharon Ventura join the Fantastic Four.
The Invisible Girl No More, Here Comes the Invisible Woman.
Spin-off series including Marvel 2-in-1 and The Thing.
Marvel's Secret Wars, The Trial of Reed Richards, and more.
Find us at thefantasticast.com, on iTunes and all other podcast services.
The Fantasticast. Insert catchy tagline here. Wait, what?